Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. The Lord, as usual, let us be reminded that Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep, and He knows exactly what His sheep need at every moment. We thank God for the so great salvation that He's given us in Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at Ephesians 1. On the website, we have an Ephesians category, which is very full of a wealth of good revelation and outlines and podcasts on the book of Ephesians. It's on the drop-down menu on safeguardyoursoul.com on the desktop version. It just says Ephesians. That's it. So Ephesians chapter 1, what's interesting now, what I want to do, if nothing else, is whet your appetite for this beautiful book of Ephesians. And among other things, Ephesians tells us about the unsearchable riches of Christ. So one of the things we learn in Ephesians, I want to show you three verses. Verse 4, notice verse 4 tells us that according as He, God, has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Notice there that we're chosen of the Father. Verse 4 of Ephesians 1, we learn that we are chosen of the Father. Verse 7, notice this, in whom we have redemption through His blood, that's Christ, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So far we've learned that in verse 4 we are chosen of the Father. In verse 7 we're redeemed by the Son, right? Now we're going to look at verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So we are chosen of the Father, redeemed by the Son, and sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. So we see all three members of the Godhead were active in our salvation. So if you are saved, you are chosen of the Father, redeemed by the Son, and sealed with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, breaks down naturally into three basic sections, and they all start with a W. This is the real WWW right here. The original and divine WWW. So WWW breaks down this way in this order. And each of the sections is two chapters long. Worship. We're talking about the worship of God, our worship of Him. In the first, work is the second W. Worship, work, and warfare. So, chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Remember, our blessings from God are always in Christ, as we read right here. In fact, 12 times in the book of Ephesians alone, the words in Christ appear. 12 times, yeah, in Christ, and then 2 times, speaking of Christ, it says in Him. So it's really 14 times that all of God's blessings are wrapped up in Christ. So only those who are in Christ have the blessings of God. Only those. The fact that the term in Christ and in Him appear 14 times is an all-important truth of Scripture, that every blessing of God is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. So we're reading verse 3. 3 and 4 in English, and we see that we're blessed with all, notice, spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You got to know that because there are prosperity preachers who make everything, all blessings, amount to money, which is false. We should keep in mind that God will bless every part of our lives, and yet we worship Him because of who He is, not what He can give to us. So the last part of that verse says spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So our blessings are primarily going to be for eternity in heaven with Christ and the Father. Not on earth, but in heaven. The blessings we experience here on earth are simply a foretaste of glory divine. We live with a spiritual and eternal perspective. Jesus and the apostles taught us that on earth we would suffer persecution for Christ. And yet, in contrast, in heaven, He's going to wipe away and there's going to be no more tears or pain or sorrow of any kind ever. The Bible says we live by faith and not by sight. There's a famous false teacher named Joel Osteen who teaches that our best life is now, and this is a lie. Jesus isn't a feminine speaking little pansy, by the way. That's a whole misrepresentation of the Lord there, but we won't beat that horse too much. But keep in mind that our treasure is in heaven, amen, not on earth. So this is so important. We could talk about this forever. I'm going to hit one more thing on this and go to verse 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, for which cause we faint not. Why? Because we have an eternal perspective. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and therefore we faint not because the grace of Christ is sufficient for us in all things, no matter what we suffer. Galatians 6:9, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. We must endure to the end to be saved into eternal glory, Jesus said. Those that are saved on earth are engaged to Jesus, the great bridegroom. So we're engaged to Him, and everybody knows that you got to stay faithful to the person you're engaged to in order to marry them, right? You are engaged to be married to Jesus, but you're not yet married to Him. You're a king's kid, but you're not home yet. Your love for God is going to be tested while you're on this earth. Eternal glory with Christ and the Father and the saints of the ages awaits you. 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The outward man is perishing. We're getting a little bit uglier on the outside, but we get prettier on the inside. It says the inward man is renewed day by day. So we're getting better. We're not getting bitter. We're being filled daily with the treasure of God's grace and love in Christ, and therefore we're renewed and rejuvenated and blessed more and more every day. So that's what we read about in the book of Ephesians, which I want to encourage everybody here to read through the book of Ephesians this week. It's 6 chapters. Some people call the book of Ephesians the crowning jewel of the writings of the Apostle Paul. All right, so verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 4, it says, for our light affliction. It's just a light affliction compared to the eternal glory that awaits us in Christ. It's just a light affliction in light of or compared to the exceeding glory that awaits us in glory in heaven with Christ. So it says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it's only temporary, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So anything we suffer on earth for Christ or otherwise is almost just like a speed bump. If you're in Christ, then suffering is only going to happen on earth. It's temporary. The only suffering that's going to happen in eternity is those who die without Christ, and they're going to go to hell to suffer endlessly, irrevocably. 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, in light of our life and eternity that lies ahead with Christ, we don't look at the things which are seen. They're temporary. So he says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. And those are the things you read about in the Bible. So let's ask a rhetorical question. What are we looking at from this moment on? Are we looking at the things on the earth or the things in heaven waiting for us? So we are looking at the things that are lying before us in heaven and not the things on the earth. The Bible says to set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. And it even says where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's making intercession for us in heaven. So as we're choosing to love God first and supremely, we are crying out to the Lord like John the Baptist, Lord, you must increase, but I must decrease. First four verses. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them, but now ye also put these off, get rid of them, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Amen. So we're going to pop back to Ephesians 1 verse 4 as we begin to come in for a landing here. According as he hath, that's God. Remember, we read how we're chosen of the Father in Ephesians 1. We're redeemed by the Son, and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. He says here in verse 4 of chapter 1 of Ephesians, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now, a lot of people want to camp out on that about being chosen, and they get prideful about that. But notice how the verse finishes concerning those that are chosen by God. Amen. And that would be God chooses and desires to save everyone, but yet he foreknew that only certain people were going to choose to love him back. So to those that have been chosen and have chosen to receive Christ, repent and receive Christ, he says this, that we should be holy, that means set apart to God, and without blame, with no sin, before him in love. The word can't get into me unless I get into it. Just this morning, a few minutes before we started, my good friend Jeremy from Canada gave me a message, and he said he's just been getting lost in the Word, and he said it's like drinking the healing oil of God. If you're not in the Word, you're going to start feeling real hungry, and it's going to be God trying to tell you to feed on his Word so he can bless you. Jeremiah the prophet said that he got in the Word, and the Word got into him, and it was the joy and rejoicing of his heart. Let's finish in Ephesians chapter 2. Let's read verse 1 through 10. Amen. Let me read that. This is talking about how God found us in the darkness of the world in Satan's kingdom. And because God is so rich in mercy, he found us and brought us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his Son. He saved us by his grace, forgave our sins, and now we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. His plan is eternal. Notice the glimpse we get. Verse 7 says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. We're finishing now the last verse, Ephesians 1, verse 10. Go back to chapter 1. Ephesians 1, 10. Here's the plan of God into the future, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that's when Jesus comes back, he might gather together in one all things that are what? In Christ, both which are in heaven. See, some of the saints are already in heaven, and which are on earth, even in him. So he's going to gather together. Notice those two words, gather together. God is getting ready to bring all of his children together in his heavenly living room. We're going to be gathered together and together forever as one big happy family. Think about when you were happiest, when mommy and daddy were together with their babies, all in one living room, sitting around, just being together. That was the most secure, happy time, right? And that's what's getting ready to happen. Jesus and the Father are going to bring us all together. All rebels shall be separated. into hell. Jesus said, many be called, but few chosen. God wants you to be one of those few who chooses to love him supremely. Everybody listening to me, as you dig into the book of Ephesians, you're going to rejoice at the great riches that God has provided for you through Jesus Christ. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your abounding grace through Jesus Christ, who is our only riches. Lord, we ask you to richly bless each one of your people today, Lord. Multiply your grace to them. And thank you for showing your mercy and finding and saving us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, show us the riches of Christ through your word and by your spirit. Father, we thank you for what you've provided for us, Lord. We give back with joyful hearts and thanksgiving to you. We also ask you that the fellowship of your saints, Lord, over the food you provided will be blessed also in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.